Blog Talk Radio.
If it's Sunday, it's Wrestling Night in America here on PWTorchDailyCast.com. Good Sunday evening for April 3rd. Good Sunday morning, I apologize, here on the East Coast. April 3rd, 2022, I am Pro Wrestling Torch columnist Greg Parks, and this is your Wrestling Night in America post-show for WrestleMania Night 1. And we just finished up here with Stone Cold Steve Austin having a more extensive match than I think almost anyone would have predicted in defeating Kevin Owens in the main event of Night 1. Don't forget, we'll be back here tomorrow night, actually tonight, or maybe tomorrow morning. Whenever WrestleMania Night 2 gets over, we'll be back on the air here on PWTorchDailyCast.com, live taking your phone calls and emails, just as we're going to do tonight. So if you watched WrestleMania 38 Night 1, if you watched NXT Stand and Deliver earlier this afternoon, and you want to share your opinions, you can email us, WNIALivecast@gmail.com. Share your thoughts. I'll be reading emails on the air tonight. As we get them, you can also call us up, 515-605-9345. We have a lot of people in the queue, but only a handful who have pressed 1, which means that they want to talk and share their opinions or ask questions. So if you want to stay in the queue and listen, that is fine too. But if you'd like to chat with us here tonight, don't forget to press 1 on your keypad. So before we get to the phone calls, before we get to the emails, before we get to the reaction, I just want to go through match by match for Stand and Deliver and WrestleMania Night 1. We can also talk about anything else you want to talk about as well. I'm sure Mania will be the main thing on the menu, but I did watch Impact's show that they did, the Multiverse of Matches. I have not watched ROH yet. That's on my plate for tomorrow afternoon, I believe. So if you want to talk ROH, maybe wait to call in tomorrow night after WrestleMania if you can, or send an email. But NXT, I watched this afternoon as well as WrestleMania Night 1. NXT, on the pre-show, Raquel Gonzalez and Dakota Kai reformed their team and in doing so defeated JC Jane and Gigi Dolin for the NXT Women's Tag Titles. So that was an interesting result, not only the result, but to put this match on the pre-show. Hopefully this is the end of Dakota Kai crazy person, because not only was it not a good fit for her, I think that has largely run its course. The Stand and Deliver show started out with Cameron Grimes winning the North American title, dedicating the win to his father. It was the ladder match over Carmelo Hayes, who went in as North American champion, Solo Sikoa, Santos Escobar, and Grayson Waller. Match number 2, Tony D'Angelo defeated Tommaso Ciampa. So Tommaso Ciampa, you can read this as his leaving NXT. Perhaps, he has dipped his toe into the main roster waters over the last several weeks and months. He got a send-off here at the end. Triple H actually came out for his first on-screen appearance since his health scare some time ago and embraced Tommaso Ciampa. So the result here and the post-match scene certainly points to Tommaso Ciampa leaving the NXT brand. So a real boon for Tony D'Angelo, not only getting to kick out of Tommaso Ciampa's finisher, but to beat him here as well. Match number 3, MSK defeating Imperium and the Creeds to win the NXT tag titles. Really good match there. Really enjoyed that high-energy tag match. Match number 4, Mandy Rose defeating Cora Jade, Io Shirai, and Kaylee Ray to retain the NXT Women's title. Gunther defeated LA Knight. Rumors of LA Knight heading up to the main roster soon, perhaps as early as Monday on Raw. And then in the main event, perhaps the biggest surprise, if not of NXT Stand and Deliver, then of the entire day, Dolph Ziggler defeating Bron Breakker to retain the NXT Championship. I know we had thrown out previously here on Wrestling Night in America the idea that Ziggler could win. Perhaps Bron Breakker going to the main roster, perhaps, WWE likes the ratings boost that they're getting from the main roster denizens going down to NXT. So maybe they want to keep the belt on Ziggler a little longer to keep that bump going. I don't know. But it surprised me. I expected Breakker to win there. So that was NXT Stand and Deliver. Certainly not the level that we've become accustomed to for NXT WrestleMania weekend events, but not a bad show by any means. You can also I want to plug my Twitter here, at Greg M. Parks. I was tweeting throughout NXT Stand and Deliver, tweeted throughout WrestleMania Night 1. We'll do the same tomorrow for WrestleMania Night 2. Always love to interact with followers there. So if you're on Twitter, especially during WrestleMania or during any big pay-per-views or weekly TV shows, I try to tweet during the shows as much as possible. So, again, give me a follow there at Greg M. Parks. So WrestleMania Night 1. Began. There were no pre-show matches, by the way, for the 2 hours of pre-show. It started with the Usos defeating Shinsuke Nakamura and Rick Boogs to retain the SmackDown tag titles. A bit of an auspicious start as Rick Boogs was injured trying to do a double Samoan drop, injured his knee, which was later revealed by Michael Cole and Pat McAfee to be rather serious, and he'll need some surgery. He's had some knee problems before and developmental and the like, so certainly not a good sign. We wish nothing but the best for Rick Boogs in his recovery. Unfortunate situation there, but the Usos getting the victory and retaining the SmackDown tag titles. Match number two is Drew McIntyre over Happy Corbin. It was a longer match than I expected, but these two have good chemistry together. And Corbin is as tolerable of a character as he has been over the last year or so. So it's certainly certainly in a better place for watching Corbin matches anyway. And again, good chemistry. So we'll see if this is a launch pad for Drew McIntyre to perhaps feud with Roman Reigns going forward or take a step up at least on the SmackDown depth chart. The next match was Logan Paul and The Miz defeating Rey Mysterio and Dominic Mysterio. Somewhat surprising of a result there. Not so surprising Miz turning on Logan Paul after the match. That's another thing that we had talked about here last week in previewing this tag match when I had Dr. Bruce Hazelwood on here. We talked about the potential for that turn. Although I'm not sure who this is supposed to make babyface. Miz was cheered for the turn, but we know that crowds tend to cheer big happenings like even heel title wins or turns. So I'm not sure if that really accurately reflects how WWE sees the turn. So we'll have to see how that develops. Miz and Logan Paul are both much better as heels. So I'm not sure how you position one of them as a babyface. Paul, by the way, in this match did a really nice job. Most of his stuff looked really good. He was not at the level of Bad Bunny last year, but he still, for a celebrity combatant, did very well in this match. Bianca Belair defeated Becky Lynch to win the Raw Women's Championship in a really good match. Crowd was really into this one. Perhaps one of the most heated matches on the show and arguably the match of the show. So Belair paying off the storyline that began last summer at SummerSlam when Becky Lynch returned to defeat Bianca Belair in short order to win back the Raw Women's Championship. Now Belair winning a title on two WrestleManias in a row. Cody Rhodes was the surprise opponent for Seth Rollins. WWE did it very straightforward. They didn't do any teases as some had expected here in this spot. Cody getting the victory in a long match over Seth Rollins, but this was AEW Cody Rhodes. In terms of character, he had the same theme song. He was referred to as the American Nightmare, had all the pomp and circumstance of a returning main event star. So Cody Rhodes being positioned right off the bat in a very big way here by WWE. So good on Cody Rhodes for going to AEW and becoming such a success there that that you're brought back to the company that saw you as Stardust and now sees you as a main event star. The next match was Charlotte Flair defeating Ronda Rousey to retain the SmackDown Women's title. This was the other result that I think was fairly surprising on the night, obviously setting up a rematch down the line perhaps at the next pay-per-view, which I assume is WrestleMania Backlash as it was last year. Let me try to check. Yes, WrestleMania Backlash is indeed the next show. So could be setting up a rematch for that. Good match. I think it had, you know, it was difficult to live up to the standard that Bianca Belair and Becky Lynch had set earlier in the show from a match quality standpoint. And also for, you know, characters that people care about. You know, people care about Becky Lynch. They care about Bianca Belair. Charlotte is so unlikable, which works as a heel, but, you know, it's almost to the point where, you know, you don't have a lot of interest in seeing her. Ronda Rousey has been better, but she's not completely likable in the same way that Bianca Belair is. So, you know, this was a really good match. I think this is going to be one of those matches that gets sort of underrated when it all comes down to it. I thought it was really good. And then we had the main event, which was the KO show with Stone Cold Steve Austin. They started out talking. Owens challenged Austin to a match. Austin accepted. They went about 15 minutes. It was a brawl. Austin, there were no smoke and mirrors here. Austin did a lot of work. He took a suplex on concrete in the audience. His stamina, his cardio looked really good. And ended up beating Kevin Owens with a stunner after the match. And then he stunned Byron Saxton to pay off that awful, I think it was a 316-day skit they did on Monday Night Raw during the pandemic. So good to see Austin back and being comfortable enough to do this kind of match. And I think he'll be happy. You know, he's someone who never really wanted to come back unless he could do a full match, unless he could be the old Stone Cold Steve Austin. He didn't want to come back as a shell of his former self, and I think he'll be pretty happy with the feedback that he'll get from fans and from, you know, his professional, you know, workmates. That I think this is, they're going to say that this was probably above and beyond expectations for a Stone Cold Steve Austin return. So all in all, night one, you know, pretty strong. You know, looking at the card, it looked. There were some weaknesses there, I think, to be quite frank. So it exceeded expectations. It did very well. Really, real strong show, I thought. There was one match cut for time, the New Day against Sheamus and Ridge Holland. Not sure if that's going to take place tomorrow night or if it will be cut completely, but tomorrow night's card, we'll run down real quick before we go to the phones. That would be New Day and versus Sheamus and Ridge Holland. Queen Zelina and Carmella versus Sasha Banks and Naomi versus Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan versus Natalya and Shayna Baszler for the Women's Tag Team Championship. Johnny Knoxville versus Sami Zayn in an Anything Goes match. Pat McAfee versus Austin Theory. RK-Bro against the Street Profits and Alpha Academy for the Raw Tag Team titles. Edge versus AJ Styles. Bobby Lashley versus Omos. And Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns in a winner-take-all match for the WWE and Universal Championship. So, again, we'll be right back here tomorrow night after WrestleMania Night 2 goes off the air, taking your phone calls and emails. You can find us in the same place right here on pwtorchdailycast.com. And if you want to join the conversation, if you tuned in late as I was reading the results, I am Pro Wrestling Torch columnist Greg Parks, and this is Wrestling Night in America for April 3rd, 2022. And you can join in on the conversation, 515-605-9345. Press 1 if you'd like to talk. And you can also email us if it's getting to be too late and you can't hang up to call. Drop us a line, wnialivecast@gmail.com is where you can reach us via email. So if you've got any questions or comments on the show via email, send them in. I'll read them and give some thoughts of my own. Without further ado, let's go to the phones. The first caller to kick us off here tonight is Reverend Keith from Baltimore, Maryland. Reverend Keith, welcome to Wrestling Night in America here tonight. First call on WrestleMania post-show. Really interested to hear your feedback.
Yes, Greg, first I want to say take a deep breath, man. You've been going and going for the last 12 minutes. You've recapped Stand and Deliver. WrestleMania Night 1, breathe, enjoy it.
I'm planning on breathing while you're talking, Reverend Keith, so.
Okay. If you don't mind, it's late. I'm going to share my points all in one scoop, and I'll let you digest it, marinate on it. Marinate on it first, digest it second, let the other callers take over. I kind of felt that the Seth Rollins-Cody Rhodes match was match of the night. Now, I know that Becky and Bianca put on a stellar of a match, but what took me out of that match was how it started. They kept going for pinning combinations early on. You know, and it seemed odd for this to have been the type of feud that it was and how it Raw ended on Monday night, how you know, if you notice, they kept going for the pinning combination. So I'll let you talk about that real quick, and then I'm going to get to my next point. So how did you feel about that?
In the Belair versus Lynch match, did you say?
Yeah, how they began going, like, all these pinning combinations, cradle to cradle, roll up to roll up. I think that took away from the match. What did you feel?
Yeah, I think it was a callback to SummerSlam where, you know, Lynch just beat Belair so quickly. I think that going into this match, Belair kind of wanted to give Becky Lynch some of her own medicine and try to end the match quickly.
Okay.
And Becky Lynch wanted to do the same thing. You know, I think that was more of what it was, the callback to SummerSlam.
Okay, I wasn't thinking about that. That's a good point. You're right, the 26-second match. Right, right. It was a good combination of the few. But getting back to what I was sharing moments ago, I like the storytelling in the Cody versus Seth match. I mean, those two guys brought it. I mean, to be honest with you, if you heard some of the taunts that, you know, Seth was saying to Cody during the match, like, welcome back to the major league, you know, and he called him a certain name. And he looked like he potatoed him a couple of times in his lower back. So Seth went and Cody were going stiff on each other at one point. But I know that the two, I'm sure, hugged each other in the back and congratulated each other because they put on one whale of a match. I mean, they kept counting out, kicking out of each other's finishers. You know, the Falcon Earl, the, you know, and it finally took not only two of Cody Rhodes' finishes, the Crossroads, but he had to mix in the old school granddaddy of them all, Dusty Rhodes, the Bionic Elbow, nice homage to his dad, the Bionic Elbow and the punches to the jaw, that looked good. You know, he was getting funky like a monkey. and then he got in with that third and final Crossroads. Now, I clocked that match in at 21 minutes, 32 seconds, and I clocked the Bianca Becky at 19:07. So they went for a while, and we all know that Seth has a lot of stamina. But in closing, I do want to say that, albeit on paper, as you already alluded to, The show seemed underwhelming for WrestleMania Night 1, but it delivered, I thought, and I like how WWE pulled the swerve, because if anything, people would have thought that Ronda would have walked out with the belt and that Becky would have retained only because of the way Raw ended. Because if you recall, and I mentioned this on the post-show Monday night, that normally when the baby face gets that much of a comeuppance before the premium live event, normally at the premium live event, the baby face loses. Because, you know, Bianca cut her hair. She beat her up badly on Monday Night Raw, but she still got the victory tonight. And I'm really happy for Bianca because, like you said, Greg Parks, this was the second consecutive night one of WrestleMania's that Bianca Belair has walked away with a title. She defeated Sasha in a banger of a match last year, and she defeated Becky tonight. So, you know, I'm happy for her. I'm happy for Cody. I'm glad they let him keep the American Nightmare gimmick and moniker. I'm glad they let him keep his theme song. So the sky's the limit for one Cody Rhodes. And talk about that. And I like how when he did that little cartwheel, Corey Graves said he's shaking off the dust. You know, remember he was stardust.
Yeah,
he said that. He's excited. He's happy to be back, and he's shaking off the dust. It's a fresh start. So, Greg, I love you, man. You know you're going to hear from me again soon. Have a good night. Get some rest. Thanks for taking my call.
Awesome. Thank you, Reverend Keith. Thanks for kicking us off here tonight on the WrestleMania Night 1 post-show of Wrestling Night in America. He certainly shook off the stardust here tonight. I mean, this is not stardust. This is Cody Rhodes, and there was not a shadow of a doubt about that. The match was really strong. You know, it was the fans popped huge for Cody in case there was any doubt about what kind of reaction he would get. Would they react, you know, would they see him as a big star? Because when he left WWE, he was not a big star. He was a big star dust, but not a big star. So they saw him at the level that WWE presented him tonight. And that was at the level of a major star. So good news for Cody, good news for WWE. That gives them a lot of avenues to go down in the ensuing weeks and months. I thought it was a really strong match. Cody was off on a couple things, the powerbomb outside the ring, the moonsault at one point off the top rope. But I didn't think it significantly detracted from the quality of the match. I don't think, you know, there were some people on social media, on Twitter, saying that this was a better match than any match that Cody had in AEW. And that seems like hyperbole. I don't buy that. I thought this was a really good match. Arguably match of the night. Reverend Keith had it as his match of the night. I totally understand if you found that to be the best match of the night. But I do think Cody had not just one, but probably two or three at least matches better than this in AEW. And again, that's not putting this match down. But, you know, I think we sometimes get short memories or, you know, maybe we didn't really enjoy Cody's work, his body of work in AEW all the time. And so that kind of colors our opinion. But I do think he had some better stuff in AEW. Really going to be interesting to hear from him. The first time we didn't hear from him tonight, there was no promo that set this up beforehand. So to hear his mission statement in WWE as a character is going to be something really interesting. Probably Monday night on Raw is when we'll get it. So that's going to be something to look out for sure. And that's my thoughts on Cody versus Rollins. And I will say, Reverend Keith talking about Bianca Belair getting one over on Becky Lynch on Raw this past week by cutting her hair, that did cross my mind when I was watching Raw. I did think, ooh, you know, this isn't Bianca just getting one over on Becky Lynch and standing tall. This is Bianca getting a big one over on Lynch by cutting her hair. And so that did give me pause when it came to I left Raw still thinking Bianca would win this match, but if I had to put a percentage on it, it would have been a lower percentage than when I went into Raw. Let me just say that. And so Bianca did win. So, you know, props to Becky Lynch for doing what needed to be done to get Bianca over, getting her hair cut on Raw and then coming back and losing on WrestleMania. I mean, that's not the 50-50 kind of booking that we're used to for WWE, as Reverend Keith sort of alluded to there. Again, this is Wrestling Night in America, talking about night one of WrestleMania. So you can give us a call, 515-605-9345. We don't have a ton of callers on hold, and I'm wary about saying that because I feel like if I say that, four or five more people will pop up and we'll be going to 2 a.m., which is fine. Well, we'll go as long as we have calls. But we do have two callers left on hold, so if you do want to get in the queue and you were just afraid that you'd be at the end of a very long line, that's not the case. So 515-605-9345. We'll go to our next call. I believe this is Craig from Toledo.
Yes, it is. How are you, Greg?
I'm doing well, Craig. Good to hear from you again. Curious about your thoughts here for night one of WrestleMania. Did you see it the way many others did as a thumbs-up show?
I would definitely thumbs up, especially since I haven't watched WWE. I watched the Royal Rumble. Like, I haven't watched in about over a year, so I didn't watch the last WrestleMania, but I watched the Royal Rumble, and then I watched the SmackDown last night, and it was awful, and I'm like, but I already knew that I was going to watch tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, man, tonight's going to suck, because last night's SmackDown was just awful. But I was going in kind of with low expectations, I guess. But then I, like, the first couple matches were and I didn't really care. But when it got to the Bianca and Becky match and that the entrance with the band, mm-hmm. I'm a sucker for marching band. So, and then they did more in the match. That was the best match of the night. I didn't, you know, me and Reverend mm-hmm. Keith are usually on, you know, similar taste in wrestling, but no, that was the match of the night, the Bianca match. And I was just curious about your thoughts on the Charlotte and Rousey match, because I think that match was built to fail because of how they positioned it against the NCAA. Like, it was going on. Anybody with more than one screen had the end of the North Carolina Duke game on, because it was such an exciting ending and such publicized stuff. It wasn't built, as far as I heard. I haven't heard, you know, I only listened to the audio and stuff, but it was being put at that time slot. Do you think that was, I guess it's a bad statement to say it was built to fail, but it was in a position to fail.
I certainly understand what you're trying to say, Craig. I do wonder where the better placement would have been on the card, because I agree. It was tough. You're following Belair and Lynch and Rhodes and Rollins, which were two matches that the crowd was super interested in. And you've got sort of the fans know that Steve Austin's going to be coming up next. So are they saving their pops for that? Right. So just from that point of view, from the structure of the card, you could probably say it probably wasn't in the best position to get a reaction from the live crowd. And then you bring in, of course, the crowd that's watching at home and the NCAA tournament happening with Duke and North Carolina and everything that's going on around that situation with Coach K retiring. And so, you know, I don't know if WWE even thought about the NCAAs and took that into account when they did this, but, you know, the alternative would have been Flair versus Rousey going on last, and I think that would have been a much worse decision, because then you're following Steve Austin. I guess you could. And WWE has done that before, where they've kicked off the show, you know, with a major match. You know, they did it for years when, and it was kind of the running joke, when somebody would win the Royal Rumble and they say, oh, they're going to main event WrestleMania, and they end up wrestling in the first match. You know, so WWE's done that before. It's not unprecedented for them to put a major match there. And I think, you know, you could sort of make the argument, except with that finish. If you're going to do the finish with the ref bump, a pretty unsatisfying finish that's only meant to get you to the next chapter in the story and an eventual Flair-Rousey rematch, that's a pretty rough way to start the show with that kind of finish. And so that's what makes me hesitant about starting the show with that match. Now, of course, you could make the argument, oh, you don't have to do that finish. And I agree. You could figure out another way that's a little more satisfying. But if you're married to that finish, then I think that would be hard to put in the first match. And, you know, really, and I don't remember how this had been positioned on WWE TV, but I feel like it's been talked about as being the main event. Or maybe that's just been, you know, the reporting on it, that it's going to be the main event. So if that, you know, if WWE had positioned it as the main event, it would be hard to kind of put it at the beginning of the show. But yeah, I just think it's sort of one of those matches where it's just hard to find where it would be appropriate to put it. And I don't think the positioning hurt the live crowd reaction. I thought the live crowd was still pretty into it, especially when you consider that they had just come off a Belair versus Lynch match and a Rhodes versus Rollins match. and still had Austin to go. So I don't think it hurt the live crowd, but yeah, I'm curious. I don't know, obviously, how it splintered the people watching at home in terms of what kind of attention were they able to pay to it versus the NCAA tournament or anything else that was going on at the time.
Yeah, I'd be curious about the whole perspective, that whole perspective of back in the day when you used to pay 30, 40, 50 bucks for a pay-per-view, you weren't watching anything else. You were locked into whatever you paid 50 bucks for. You weren't like looking at the other channel to watch, you know, Blue Bloods or, you know, whatever. Like, you couldn't have this on in the background because you paid that much money for it. But now that it's on
right,
a streaming service, like for $5 a month or $10 a month or whatever my friend pays for it, like that might make people watch differently, invest differently. I think it might, because like I know for me, when I pay $50 for like an AEW show, you know, I don't have another channel on watching hockey or baseball, anything. I'm not watching anything.
Yeah.
I'm watching the show I pay because I'm, like, putting my money into it. Anyway, that's a deep dive for Rich, I guess. I don't know. but my other comment was about Cody. And I think that might have been the best commercial for AEW ever. If you think about it, because, like, there's a lot of wrestling fans that are turning into WrestleMania or casual fans, and they're like, well, Prodigal Son, well, where did he go? And, you know, they might have to look it up. So I think that was good for AEW. What do you think?
I think it was good for, not that they need a lot of help in this department, but I think it was a good advertisement for AEW for WWE mid-card wrestlers. I mean, if you're someone like Ricochet, who, yeah, he's Intercontinental Champion, but you can't even find your way onto WrestleMania, and you're as talented as he is, and you see a guy like Cody Rhodes, who, when he left WWE, was in a similar position as Ricochet, and he goes to AEW, becomes a major star, and now he's returning to WWE as a major star. So for the mid-carders in WWE whose contracts may be expiring and who may have interest in AEW, this is a good selling point for them. If I go and sort of rehab myself in AEW, become a big star there, which is not guaranteed, by the way. A lot of things worked in Cody's favor. Most notably, he was an executive vice president of the company. So, you know, not everybody's going to have that kind of power to get themselves over in the way that Cody did. But, you know, this isn't old WWE of, you know, you're coming from WCW as a major star. We need to humble you. You know, you haven't done anything until you've done it in WWE. This isn't one of those situations. This is, you know, WWE taking a major AEW star and treating them as a star in a way that they did not treat him when he was in WWE before. So, yeah, it may get people to seek out AEW who wouldn't otherwise have done so, but I also think it sends a signal to mid-carders in WWE that, hey, the grass might indeed be greener on the other side, at least for a while, and then you can come back in WWE as a big star and get a big payday like Cody Rhodes did.
Yeah, I immediately thought of Drew McIntyre when you said, you know, when you're going on like that. I'm like, oh, it's the Drew McIntyre model. He left, built his brand, came back stronger, and everybody, you know, he had the groundswell of, like, kind of a green anyway, thanks for taking my call, Greg, and I hope you manage to get some sleep before tomorrow or this afternoon, morning, whatever.
whenever you want to term it, yes. Thank you, Craig. Always good hearing your opinions.
Have a good night.
Thanks, you too. Yeah, I'll sleep at some point. Don't worry about me. I'll find some time. I don't know when it'll be, but I'll find some time. Luckily, tomorrow won't be as action-packed like it was with NXT this afternoon and then sneaking in the Impact pay-per-view after that, and then going right into WrestleMania. So I'll have some time Sunday afternoon to hopefully, like I said, catch up on ROH. I want to watch Bloodsport at some point. That may not come till sometime during the week if I find some time, but I would like to see that. I've gotten some people recommending that to me, and just following along on social media as that was happening, kind of, you know, it was a big show, good show. So I wanted to check that out. We have just one caller left if you want to get in the queue, 515-605-9345, to talk WrestleMania. We do have an email that was just sent. This is Claude from New York. And Claude says, I enjoy The Miz every time he's in the ring. Do you think he gets the respect he deserves? Also, why did they have police escort Kevin Owens out of the arena? The police escort of Owens was simply storyline. After all the things he'd said about Texas, it was only appropriate that Texas police escorted him out of the building. I think it was a nice cherry on top of the entire storyline and situation. As far as The Miz, that's a really interesting question. I think The Miz is a guy who's getting more and more respect the deeper he goes into his career, at least from people on the outside looking in, you know, looking at his career and the trajectory of it. You know, he's not – he has that awkward style that John Cena sort of has, where you can tell they're not like this five-star athlete, but they're still competent in the ring and could put on really good matches when they're called upon. And Miz is a guy who WWE can lean on. He can do press for WWE. He's kind of a man for all seasons for WWE. So, you know, he's very valuable to WWE, and I think WWE sees the value that Miz has. And I think he's come a long way. I mean, he was hosting SmackDown. You know, that's what his initial job was. He's getting kicked out of the locker room by Chris Benoit when he first started in WWE. So, you know, from that point of view and to where he is now, I think he's gotten tons more respect. Maybe not as much as he deserves from some circles, but I think for the most part, as time has gone on in his career, he's gotten more and more respect. You know, the WrestleMania main event, I think people kind of looked down on that a little bit. They didn't feel that he, at the time anyway, was quote-unquote worthy of that spot, or they didn't think that Miz was a big enough name or an established enough main eventer to, again, quote-unquote deserve that WrestleMania main event against John Cena. So I think people sort of held that against him a little bit, that over-push sentiment that people had at the time. But again, as time has gone on, he's a glue guy. He's a guy who really holds together the mid-card. He can have a cup of coffee in the main events challenging for titles if you need it. He's a guy who, you know, he sort of comes off as a goofball in some ways, as oblivious in a lot of ways. So he's not really hurt by losing. He's one of those sort of Teflon guys that his mic work is so good that he doesn't need to win a bunch of matches. I mean, he can be on the losing end, and that's very valuable, you know, because otherwise you're doing 50-50 all the time, and you can't survive very well doing that. You're not going to get any stars over. So you got to have somebody who's going to lose but still has the credibility that when somebody beats them, that it means something. And Miz has been around long enough to, you know, hasn't suffered a ton of major injuries, so he's been on TV an awful lot. And so for fans, he does have a lot of credibility in that regard. So we'll go to what is our final phone call right now. Again, if you want to jump on, 515-605-9345, talk about night one of WrestleMania. This is DJ from Miami, 305 area code DJ. Welcome to Wrestling Night in America. What'd you think of WrestleMania night one?
It was like a Raw plus, maybe. I don't know. It was okay. I know you guys were talking about Cody, but I do want to bring up a couple things about Cody, though, the first thing.
Okay. Yeah.
He did have a great match. the thing I didn't like was that he had to do the three cross and then the elbow. Now, Seth Rollins is the same weight as him, 220. Okay, so giving him gold, what is he going to have in his arsenal to be a bigger guy? Brock, Roman, Drew. If you give, you see what I'm saying? Like, give him one. Give him the elbow once. Boom. Okay, don't give him, and like, he's so tired, he's going to, like, they were saying he was so tired. He was this and this. Like, he's pulling out everything. It was Seth Rollins. Like, first match. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he took everything in his arsenal, barely beat him. If they're going to push him, how would they do that if he just put everything out of his arsenal?
I don't know how that – I don't know how much that really matters. I think that's something that matters to people who talk about wrestling. I'm not sure it matters to WWE. I'm not sure it matters to most fans in terms of – I think what you're getting at is, you know, it took him so long to beat someone like Seth Rollins. You know, what's going to happen when he is built up to face a guy the level of Roman Reigns who, you know, is higher than Rollins on the totem pole for sure. How is he supposed to be seen as a credible challenger if it took him so long to put away someone the level of Seth Rollins? I mean, you know, Seth Rollins is nothing to shake a stick at. You know, he's been built and he's been treated as a major star within WWE. So I don't think taking time to beat Seth Rollins is necessarily the death knell for this character or anything like that. And I think this is just sort of a reintroduction for the WWE audience about who Cody Rhodes is, who he is going to be in the WWE ecosystem. So, and I think Cody probably fought for a long match too. I think he probably wanted to be able to prove to those who doubted him in WWE that he is, you know, there's an article that came out to coincide with Cody's return. It was Variety article that had interviewed him. And there's a point in the interview where he talked about talking to Vince McMahon, talking to Nick Khan, talking to Bruce Pritchard, and telling them, hey, I believe that I'm the best wrestler in the world, and I want to be able to show that. And I think what you saw tonight was Cody Rhodes trying to prove that he is indeed the best wrestler in the world. And so I think he wanted the challenge of going out and not only getting that big pop right off the bat, but being able to sustain that reaction throughout a long match, and I think he succeeded in doing that.
But what I was saying is that if he's giving somebody three crosses, like, what else does he have? Like, do you think he'll come out with another move, you know, to beat bigger guys? You know what I mean? Like, you understand what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, I think so. You mean his finisher, the Crossroads?
Yes.
I don't know. This is WrestleMania. This is the one night a year, more so than any others, that wrestlers kick out of finishers, and it's just seen as sort of a normal thing. So I'm not sure how much that's going to be held against him in terms of, you know, fans. You know, if it takes him two Crossroads to beat somebody, there's, you know, I don't think anyone's going to be sitting there saying, well, it took him three Crossroads to beat Seth Rollins, so I'm skeptical. You know, I don't think that's going to happen.
Okay. I had to ask because I know sometimes they do mention that, you know. I had that.
Yeah.
My second thing, the awesome thing was really good. I mean, when he took that bump, I was like, oh, but he looked good. I mean, I don't know. I had this weird feeling this might light a fire in his butt. And I have this crazy feeling he might go to TLC. Let me ask you a crazy question. Now that, like, this was a no-holds-barred, right? So let's say, like, what could end up for The Rock and Roman, because they're going to have a straight-up match, because you don't think they're going to do a no-hold-barred like they did this thing. Like, this is going to have to be a one, you know, straight-down-the-line match with them. Or do you think because of Rock, who he is, and, you know, he doesn't want to get hurt, they'll do the same thing, kind of no-hold-barred thing? Like,
I think they could do the same thing. I don't think this match tonight prevents Lesnar from or Lesnar and Reigns from doing anything. You know, it's two separate nights. I think if you were doing two of them on the same night, it would be a little bit of overkill. But I don't think doing them a night apart, it would really affect anything.
Yeah. How about The Rock? You don't think that this is going to be affecting The Rock for next year? Like, you don't think this is going to be a no-hold-barred match with him and Reigns? I just hope it will be a straight-down match. You know what I mean? Like, this was for Stone Cold.
I mean,
this was good.
It's a lot to ask guys like The Rock and Austin, who have not had a match in a very long time, to have a straight-up wrestling match. So if they want to do something with The Rock next year, and it's a no-holds-barred match because that's what Rock is comfortable with, and he's not comfortable going, you know, bell-to-bell, everything in the ring, wrestling an old-fashioned match, then, hey, it's The Rock. Do what he wants just to get him on the show at that point, you know?
Yep. Do you see Stone Cold going one more time, or do you think this is it? Because he did look really good. Do you think he'll go to TLC or something?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think it could go one of two ways, and I don't have a feel for which way it would go. I mean, I can't speak for him. I don't know Steve Austin. But he could say, wow, that felt really good. That went better than I expected. I think I could do a couple more of these. Or he could say, that was a really good cap to what I want to do. It was WrestleMania. It was the main event of WrestleMania. It was in Dallas, Texas. How's it going to get better than that? What a capper to my career. What a match to go out on. That's something I can be proud of. If I keep doing this with diminishing returns, I may not be happy with how I go out. I may not be going out on my terms, you know, if I get hurt or something like that. So he could just look at this match tonight and say, that's a match I can be proud of going out on. And so I don't have a good feel for one or the other, but, you know, those are the two kind of thought process I'm thinking that he may be experiencing tonight.
I just thought he looked so good that Vince might ask him to do it one more time. I mean, he definitely looked good. I mean, some, you know, like, some things were like, but it was good. So hopefully we'll see him again. You know what I mean? So my last thing is the you really didn't talk anything about the ceremony on Friday night. Like, the funniest thing I saw was, before going into it, was Nikki Bella fought that Vader was alive. That was kind of crazy. She couldn't wait for him to tell stories. I don't know if you saw that, but the hop was good. It was very quiet. I thought Scott Steiner was going to really, you know, go off. He was very quiet. Everything was very calm, very quiet. Nothing was, you know, crazy. They didn't show any crazy pops or, you know, the Undertaker said one more match maybe, but that was it. They didn't, you know. It was pretty quiet. What did you think about the
Hall? Well, I didn't talk about the show because I haven't seen it. I've not seen the Hall of Fame. I just barely got caught up on all the weekly wrestling that I needed to watch before today. So the Hall of Fame was sort of one of those extras that I just didn't get around to. But, thank you for bringing that up. I think it is worth talking about, DJ, and thank you for the synopsis of it for people who haven't seen it. But, yeah, Hall of Fame, and, of course, they had the Hall of Famers come out here tonight. Kind of weird to see The Undertaker come out to his Undertaker music but not in character. That was a little jarring to see. But I am glad. It was nice to see, by the way, that they did a smaller class. And I think it's probably by necessity because you're doing the induction ceremony after SmackDown rather than as a standalone event. And you can't run long with the speeches and stuff like that when people have already sat through 2 hours of TV. But I think, you know, in the long run, it's going to be good for WWE, and I hope they continue doing the smaller classes of inductions just because, you know, they're in a situation right now where they're running out of major talent to induct. And if they keep inducting 7 or 8 people as they've done in the past, it's going to get harder and harder to find people to really put in there that have any kind of credibility. So, was happy to see the format of how WWE did it this year. But, definitely thank you for bringing that up, DJ.
Yep. I just thought it was, you know, it was pretty quiet. That's why I didn't know if you saw it because, you know, usually they'll bring up something. But it was pretty quiet and it was really good. So hopefully you'll see it.
Okay. All right. Yeah. When I get time, man, it's going to be tough. It may not be for a few weeks. But, I do hope to get around to see it at some point, DJ. Thanks for the phone call tonight.
See you tomorrow.
All right. And thank you for DJ for reminding me tomorrow night. Again, for those who are tuning in late here, we will be on the air tomorrow night as well. After WrestleMania Night 2 goes off the air, we'll be talking about, if you want to call in, if you're listening here on delay, maybe you're listening Sunday during the day, and you didn't get a chance to call in and mention anything about Mania Night 1, if you want to call in after Night 2, you're welcome to do so. So we'll not just be talking about Night 2, but Night 1 as well. So new caller jumped on. We'll go to the phones again. The 646 area code, 646, you're on Wrestling Night in America. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, how's it going? I'm John from New York. First time, long time. Greg, appreciate everything you're doing. First of all, just wanted to say, I think it was a strong show. You know, Becky and Bianca, I think, had a classic. So really enjoyed that match. And I think Ronda and Charlotte exceeded expectations. So that was really good. But you know, one thing that you said that I wanted to give a perspective on was Cody. And, you know, you said that, you know, you thought that it might show that other superstars, pro wrestlers, might get a good experience or a good look from WWE. But I think WWE went above and beyond pointing out the legacy of the Rhodes family. And I wonder how much that played into the shine that they put on him tonight. And I'm curious for your perspective on how much the family legacy and therefore the WWE legacy played into the rub that he got tonight.
Yeah, first of all, thank you for calling in, John. Always love to hear from first-time callers. And I think you do bring up a good point. You know, that is something that with this American Nightmare character, obviously a play on his father's American Dream character, so the family is baked into this American Nightmare character. But we also have to remember that's not anything different than when Cody was in WWE the first time around. You know, that family legacy was always there, and WWE chose not to play up that legacy. And in certain ways, almost like Goldust, when they first had Dustin Rhodes, they ran away from that legacy. You know, the idea of Stardust was nothing close to the Cody Rhodes that we're seeing today. So yes, WWE does seem to be embracing the Rhodes name and the Rhodes legacy this time around. But that was always there, and they had never capitalized on it before. So something had changed, and that something to me, at least in my read of the situation, is Cody went to AEW, made himself a big star, and WWE wants to sort of peck away at that positive that positive view that a lot of fans have of AEW, especially versus WWE, and that AEW is taking all of these, misused talents, or however people want to term them, and signing them, and they're taking all of WWE's talent. And I think it's a feather in Vince McMahon's cap, as he sees it, that not only is he taking a major talent from AEW for the first time, but he's taking an executive vice president. So that's where it sort of differs, and I mentioned this earlier, that you know, not everybody can go to AEW and be an executive vice president and kind of book themselves in the way that Cody Rhodes did. So it's not exactly, you know, if you're a WWE mid-carder looking to make a name for yourself and come back the way Cody Rhodes did, it's not going to happen exactly like that, because, you know, Cody had power in AEW that a mid-carder is not going to have when they go over. But I also think for those who were a little bit leery about how WWE would treat incoming AEW wrestlers, this has got to be a sigh of relief that they can say, wow, you know, if I go to AEW and I decide to come back to WWE at some point, it's not like I'm going to be starting from the bottom. You know, there's a clear example that right. You can be brought in as a main star, and that being in AEW isn't going to hurt you in a way that it did for a lot of WCW stars.
Mm-hmm. No, I think it's a fair point. I guess I just wonder if the spotlight and the focus that they put on his family legacy tonight would give any AEW or, you know, otherwise non-WWE stars pause that if they did not have a WWE family legacy, that they would get a similar treatment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's part of it, that anyone going from AEW to WWE and wanting to use Cody Rhodes as a template, I think that's something that they'll have to think about. But I'm not sure how big of a role it played.
Mm-hmm. Yep, fair enough. Well, thank you very much for taking the call. I thought it was a good show tonight, and I'm looking forward to tomorrow.
Great. Thanks for calling in, John. Appreciate hearing from you.
Thank you.
Yep. All right, so that's the end of the phone calls. End of the emails. Let me check one more time. Looks like the end of the email. So, again, you know, if you want to join in on the conversation tomorrow night, 515-605-9345, you can email us anytime. Even if you wake up Sunday morning and you listen to Wrestling Night in America and something we talked about here tonight triggered a thought in your head about WrestleMania Night 1, send off that email to us at wnialivecast@gmail.com. Again, that's wnialivecast@gmail.com. Signing off here just after 1 a.m. Eastern time, so not too bad. Not too bad for a Saturday night. I am Pro Wrestling Torch columnist Greg Parks. You can find me on Twitter at Greg M. Parks, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow night after WrestleMania Night 2, because if it's Sunday, it's Wrestling Night in America.